Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Hope your Black Friday is starting out well. We've already been up for 3 hours. Time to get on our level. Outkick the coverage, finishing up your week. Clay Travis back on Monday. My name is Jason Martin, host of the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio. The original executive producer of this show. It sounds fancy. It's not as fancy. It's fancier now that Danny G's doing it. I told Clay when I left, and obviously we've maintained a good relationship and a good friendship since, that he was getting a better producer. He was like, I don't know if it was really where I was supposed to be, and that Danny was really going to be what he needed in that role. And I think that's absolutely been true. I think Dub's done a great job here with the phones and being a part of the show as well. I like that group. I love when I get to work with them, and just hopefully they're having a good few days off. Jeff Schwartz with me. I'm Jason Martin. He's at Jeff Schwartz. I'm at JMart Radio. And Ramon Foster will join us next segment. I just talked to him during the break, so he is all set. He'll join us about 8:15 Eastern time. We'll talk Steelers, Ravens, a lot of NFL, just a bunch of stuff with Moan. Probably a bunch of just how great the O-line is. Talk is probably what we're going to endure for about 25 minutes, just to warn all the listeners out there.
Why would we not talk about that? It feels like that's the great stuff to talk about. I mean, you know, maybe not for your Tennessee Titans right now, as they're all beat up, but like for other teams, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, there you go. I just meant overall the position and just how wonderful all those people are. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of that. Yes. There you go. All right. So I was looking at CBS's hot seat rankings.
Ooh.
And some names, I pretty much, the names aren't too shocking. There are a few that have popped out that it's amazing to me that Coach O is on this list, very high up on this list, and it seems like increasingly that's becoming trending. I think the list goes up to a 5 rating. And so you've got Harbaugh at 5, and you've got Derek Mason at Vanderbilt at 5. Clay Helton, he's right near there. Tom Herman's right near there. You've got some of that kind of stuff. Even Chip Kelly, I think, is at a 4. Scott Frost, some of these guys. But Coach O just won a national championship, right? Jeez, but here's the knock, though. People believe he is Gene Chizik. I actually had a caller, somebody that's a regular caller and a listener on the show in Nashville that we do daily on Fox Sports Radio affiliate 104.5 The Zone, that suggested this. He goes, this is Chizik. Chizik had Cam Newton. He won a championship, and that was it. Coach O had Joe Burrow and this all-world team and Joe Brady, and now you're going to find out that you were right, J-Mart, when you originally said it was a bad hire, that this was a one-year thing and that he'll be out of there 2 or 3 years from right now. That seems unbelievable that it would move on that quickly, but I guess it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately situation, and LSU, it has gone pretty poorly for them.
What's crazy about even suggesting this season that he would be out, and I get what you guys are saying about the Gene Chizik and Coach O comparison, because it definitely it has a lot of merit, right? But they're without, from last season's team, like 18 starters.
I mean, Jamar Chase, he's just like, nah, I'm going to be a top 5 NFL wide receiver. This college football season doesn't mean much. We're not going to win a championship this year at LSU, so I'm going to play for my future.
So we're going to get rid of a coach in a weird COVID year? Like, you want to put him on the hot seat in a weird COVID year when you've lost 18 starters off your championship team? Like, that just feels like an extreme overreaction to one poor season when you're, again, replacing all your starters from last year.
Well, see, I think hot seat, it doesn't mean immediate. I think it means the seat is heating up a little bit there. Like, you're going to have to keep an eye on this over the next year or two.
How could it even be heating up yet? Like, that's my point, is it shouldn't even be heating up yet till some point next year when you have another year of recruiting class, you have a regular offseason. Look, there might not be spring ball next year, but there'll be a regular training camp and the season will start on time, unless none of the vaccines are available when they said they'd be available. You can't put anyone in a hot seat like him, right? He won the championship less than a year ago.
Yeah. Some of the other names make more sense, but Coach O, that one definitely stood out. Now, there have been, reading just this, I guess it's Dennis Dodd that wrote this or whatever and put this thing together, but I think it's a staff of people that put it together. So they're 15-0 last year. They lost all the talent, which you mentioned, lost the coaches. The defense is all-time awful. Bo Pelini is brutal. At least the way he's performed in that job, that defense is terrible. And then, and I guess I had forgotten this, it says, then there was USA Today's bombshell regarding allegations of ignored sexual abuse by players.
Well, that will have him fired quickly than anything else.
And it should. I mean, if that all turns out to be true, that's obviously going to be pretty brutal. But it does seem, within a year, slow your roll just a little bit. But some of these other guys... James Franklin, it was a preseason top 10 ranked team, and they're winless. They have lost, what was it, two or three best players didn't play at all this year. They dealt with COVID big time. They've dealt with injuries and all of that kind of thing. I don't think Franklin's necessarily on the hot seat, but I could see him leaving the job. I could see him going somewhere else. Like, let's say Helton is out at SC. I could see him Helton being on that list.
Helton will not be out this year at USC, but I mean, I'll give you my reasons real quick. One is that, they haven't lost a game. They're 3-0. They missed their game this weekend. But even at the most, you'll finish. Let's say you finish 5-0 or 6-0 this year. They're not going to lose in their division. The terrible division, the Pac-12 South. And they owe him too much money, and USC has had some other issues. And so they want to keep their stable football coach. I think that, I think next year, he will be gone. If there's a winner in a COVID shortened season, it actually would be USC, because they dropped Alabama, they dropped Notre Dame and Oregon off their schedule this year, which would have been three L's, and Clelton would have been gone this offseason. So I don't think Clelton is gone. James Franklin could be a guy for Texas.
Maybe.
But I don't think James Franklin's leaving. Again, I think we have to look at just the oddity of this year, the weirdness of this year, and realize that we're probably not going to have many changes this year, especially at Power 5 conference programs, because it's hard to judge your team, your school, off this weird season.
Well, see, I don't think Franklin is necessarily on hot seat. I think that next year he can't have another year like this, and then maybe you can have that discussion, because I don't think Penn State's going to put up with it. Their fan base, their alumni are going to put up with it. But I do think this year you can give them a little bit of a pass. And COVID, I think COVID as a whole definitely is going to save some people's jobs. Like, there's no doubt about it. With the money that's been lost, with the uncertainty, with the free year in terms of eligibility and all this other kind of stuff, like, I just feel like athletic departments are going to be much more reticent to make changes. The only reason this becomes more interesting is because South Carolina made a move in the middle of the season. Now that makes you start to look at the rest of the SEC, like Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, both in the state that I happen to live in. Both of them are not on particularly solid ground compared to maybe where you would have thought Pruitt might have been before the season. I mean, they gave him an extension, for crying out loud. And, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. And I think Scott Frost is another one. But the thing about it is, it's not Scott Frost's fault that Nebraska is not very good. It's the fact that Nebraska in 2020 is just going to have an awfully difficult time keeping up, because recruiting is just going to be incredibly tough.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a lot of these schools are kind of in the same boat. Nebraska, Michigan, Texas, USC.
Tennessee, all of them.
Like, they're all in this mode of, we used to be good, and let's be good again. Where I know Oregon is not those schools as far as their past success. Now, Oregon did go to four straight BCS bowls. We played in two championship games.
I think
the last
they are
10
years. Texas, Jeff. Like, I mean, I don't. Texas doesn't have this like rich football history.
Well, as far as like, dude, Oregon until 95, the 95 Rose Bowl, Oregon had been to like six bowl games. I mean, like, Mike Bellotti went to think 10 or 11 bowl games in 15 years or so as a coach. And before that, in the entire history of Oregon, it would have been like 8 bowl games. Like, Oregon is not good, has not been good. Texas at least has history. They don't have a lot of championships, right? But they have a ton of history as far as excellent players and coaches and whatnot and winning. We don't have any of that at Oregon. Pre-95 Rose Bowl, essentially. And even then, it wasn't really till the Harrington years, so we started winning, which was about 6 years later. Oregon doesn't have a rich tradition of winning history. We have in the last 15 years, we've been really good. But Oregon's really good at recruiting, right? They're number 3 right now in 24/7. There were 11 last year, 6 year before that. But I know that staff well, and they don't talk about the past ever, never. All they talk about is the future. Is like, we're going to go out and we're going to kick people's butts and we're going to do it and we're going to win titles and we're going to go future. There's never talk about, well, you know, when Chip was here, we went to 4 BCS bowls. None of that's talked about ever. They don't care about that. They care about the future. And I follow USC closely as well. USC's always worried about the past. They're always talking about, well, remember when we won a championship? Yeah, Reggie Bush. And look, I'm glad they brought him back to the program. He deserved to come back. But kids that are being recruited now were like 2 years old when Reggie Bush was really good at USC.
Well, that's even worse, though. But that's even worse if you're Nebraska, because you have really placed yourself out where your parents have to tell you about a time when Nebraska was good. Your parents say, hey, you know, mid-90s, boy, Nebraska was unbelievable. What the hell does that have to do with me in 2020 if I'm an 18-year-old trying to decide where I want to go play football? Like, that becomes your problem if you're Nebraska. When we come back, we'll continue maybe a little bit of this, and then we'll talk some pro with Ramon Foster. He played 11 years protecting Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. I'm sure he has heard from some Steelers over the last day or so about having yet another game moved and potentially moved out of the week. We don't know for sure, but with Lamar Jackson coming down with COVID, that becomes a real good concern. We'll be right back. Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, do you own or rent your home? I imagine you do one of those two things. Either way, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. Having a home's hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com, easy. Clay's back on Monday. Jason Martin, Jeff Schwartz in today on Outkick. We've had fun the last couple of days. A little bit of college talk there in that last segment. Jeff's feeling it because he thinks Oregon is about to just blow up over the next few years.
About to. We are going to. It's not a question. It's going to happen.
Well, I mean, it does have to take place, Jeff.
Year, and we have the third recruiting class right now. I mean, like, I feel like Mario's doing a good job.
I would concur. The Arizona State loss kind of sucked, but you know, whatever. It's all about the future, right? That's what we were talking about in the last segment.
We're not worried about it. We have a new offensive coordinator. We're not worried about last season. No one talking about last season anymore.
It's all about the present. No more past, no future.
I
mean,
I am wearing my Oregon Ducks Rose Bowl shirt from last year, though, so now I feel kind of bad. But yeah, we're not talking about the Rose Bowl last year. We're talking about this year, winning the conference again, the conference that no one cares about.
Well, they're doing a better job than the Big Ten of managing COVID and making decisions. I will certainly say that.
Are we, though? I mean, we've had like a third of our games canceled.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, at least you've had other arrangements made for some of these teams. Like, I bet Wisconsin would like to be in a Pac-12 right now.
Yeah, but well, to be fair, though, like, if Wisconsin didn't play, they would not qualify either. Like, the Pac-12 has a threshold as well for qualifying for the playoff.
They can't go schedule another game is what I'm saying. Wisconsin's correct. Out this week because Minnesota's having contact tracing problems, not because of Wisconsin.
Yeah, but look, man, I go back to this, is that this season was always going to be unfair, and it was just going to be messed up, and I wish I could be like, I feel sorry for Wisconsin, but like, then again, this is what this year was going to be. Some teams were going to get screwed. Some were going to get some luck involved with it. And the Big Ten, though, look, to your point, though, has handled this probably the worst out of all Power 5 conferences, even though the Pac-12 followed them for a while. Thankfully, we've done our own thing since then.
So you talked about unfair and all that kind of stuff. Let's bring in Ramon Foster. He's my broadcast partner on Fox Sports Radio affiliate 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, Tennessee. And he knows a little bit about unfair because the team he used to play for is all out talking about the unfairness. Moan, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys. How's everybody going?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. I know you're making coffee, and that's a thing that maybe I'll want to discuss with you at some point. But you got to tell me, because I saw Ebron and I saw guys yesterday on Twitter that were definitely out saying something about this Ravens deal. How pissed off are your former teammates about what's going on for the second time this season involving them?
They're beyond pissed, man. And, you know, we've talked about it before on our show, man. In the sense of, like, athletes, Jeff, you know it too. It's a few things you look at. It's one of the Thursday night game to make sure it's not super early in the season or super late in the season. If it falls right in the middle, hey, I'm good to go. We'll figure this thing out. And then the other one is the bye week. And right now, that's what the guys' biggest gripe is about, is they hadn't had a full bye week, in a sense. The last time they were supposed to play, the last time it got canceled, they were still practicing during the week, so they didn't get their appropriate off time. And then what I found out about this was that this week in general, playing on Thursday night on Thanksgiving in front of everybody, guys had already, like, bought tickets for their families to be able to come into the stadium, or at least being able to come and see them for a little bit. And Coach Tomlin had promised them that they'd be off till Wednesday of next week.
Yep.
So now they're in an uproar, and I get it, because as a professional, man, you go as hard as you can, but you know you do need your breaks too. And that's where the guys are at this point, and especially since it's not their own undoing in a sense. And I know they've been very adamant about, you know, wearing masks and the tracing and just everything involved in it. So it's one of those things like, why do I got to get in trouble because you messed up? I'm not the guy that messed this whole thing up. And the rest – component of the season is what's really getting to them right now. Not in the sense that they're tired, but in the sense that you just want to take a break from the game over the weekend, and they're not given that opportunity right now.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to people, is like the five-day break that Tomlin was giving them is huge in week 12. I mean, it's going to feel great to have those 5 days off. Obviously, can't do that now. But, you know, what I respect about Tomlin, though, is there's no excuses made, right? It was interesting, by the way, to see, like, Cam Hayward, who's been there forever, go on Twitter and be like, all right, we'll play Sunday. And the younger guys are kind of like, this stinks. So how does Tomlin, like, how does Tomlin handle a situation like this?
He's the guy, man, that, I'll say this, he's a curator in the sense of, like, the game of football. So whatever the game needs, he's okay with doing it. Every year we've practiced either on Christmas, played on Christmas, practiced on Thanksgiving, all the holidays, Labor Day, all of those things. And he'd always give us a lesson and saying, you know, well, my dad worked the shipyards in Virginia. He'd have dinner with us, and he'd go right back into work because guess what? It was double time for a family that needed double pay, you know? So he's a guy that never let the guys make an excuse about what the game is demanding. It's just when you have, like you said, the young guys on the team that really don't get it just yet, that's why Cam is all adamant about, like, it doesn't matter to him. And Jason and I have been running that whole little bit on our show, is that we do not care. That's his mentality, is just that it'll move through the locker room and everybody will fully understand it, in the sense that nobody really cares. And I just hate to say it, but most people don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers unless you're a Steelers fan. So those guys being on Twitter, being mad or upset, I'm sure it's all kind of other fan bases attacking them, calling them crybabies and stuff like that. But that's just how it goes, man. Coach Tomlin has a way, man, of getting guys to get the best out of themselves and just leave everything behind. His biggest thing that he says, whatever problems you have, keep them at the door as soon as you walk through those that facility doorway, because what we focus on is football in that room, and that's where the guys that get to. It's just the reactionary thing to do is just go on Twitter, because why? Everybody has a voice now.
Oh, yeah, and everyone does have a voice. Looking at the game that played Sunday or Monday, I don't know when it's going to be played, do the Steelers have to worry about a little bit of complacency? Because no Lamar Jackson, right? You're out multiple running – the Ravens have multiple running backs. They're out both their D-tackles. They haven't been played as well this season. They came off a loss. Now Pittsburgh has to kind of regroup with mentally what day they're going to play. Is there a worry about a little bit of complacency in this game?
I worry about it a little bit on the fan side of it. Now, and truth be told, I did on that when I was a player too. It was certain games that we were supposed to win. You know, playing the New York Jets with like a backup quarterback, we end up losing that game. We go out to Oakland and play with Terrell Pryor.
I remember that game.
You know, yeah. We have had that history of stuff happening. And also, to just reflect real quick, we go out to L.A. last year, play Phillip Rivers-led team and beat them with Devlin Hodges, a.k.a. Duck. So there's a few things that go on, but I am a little worried about this one because emotions can get high. We saw what happened last time when a team was in this position with Buffalo and they had to come play the Titans. There was a huge letdown with Buffalo in the sense that they thought they probably just steamrolled through it. Baltimore's one of those franchises where everybody will be right-minded on game day, and you just hope that the guys in Pittsburgh are feeling the same way because nobody wants to lose that game because if they beat Baltimore two times, they set themselves up to win the North. So it would suck if they don't have their minds right, man. And as I say, football is that movie Any Given Sunday. That's how it can be sometimes, man.
Ramon Foster joining us here on Outkick to Coverage. Moan, we do our weekly 7-3 on our show every week in the mornings, and it's our power rankings, and it's your NFL number. It's a top seven, bottom three. And I keep thinking, I've been thinking about this over the last 24 hours. Pittsburgh's undefeated, and we are deep in the season, and they're undefeated. Yet I think three quarters of the country would take the Chiefs over them right now, which I think is a testament to how great Pat Mahomes is and how great the Andy Reid coach system is and some of the weaponry there. Yeah. But if you're a Steeler, and of course you were one for 11 years and you talk to these guys on a regular basis, do you feel almost disrespected? Like you're just not being talked about enough for what you've been able to accomplish, or do you care at all?
I'll say this from the social media aspect of it, guys probably care a little bit because you want to be justified as being undefeated. You want to be known as being good, but there is a young guy in Kansas City, man, that is one of the best in the world, and barring anything crazy happening, we're going to see a lot of great games out of that kid, and that's Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry.
Do not call him Pat. Man.
Don't mess that up, okay? I don't need Mama Mahomes coming at me, okay, guys? But what I'm saying is this. Yeah, I know those guys feel a certain way about certain people putting them number two, which in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. My ultimate goal, and I'm sure theirs, is to see each other in the AFC Championship. At the end of the day, none of it matters in the sense of one and two right now. It's not college, and you're not positioning for the BCS Bowl or the college playoff system or nothing like that. But it's and that goes the same way, too, with Ben. Ben can do a million things on the field, but it's always well the defense or well his receivers or well his running game or well his O-line. We've heard it before, and I feel like he's a Hall of Fame player for sure. He should go in first ballot, but it's always it's a him plus somebody else. It's never just him. And I'm not saying he's a top-of-the-line candidate for MVP, but – if a team is undefeated and you're playing well and he's a part of the reason, I think his touchdown to interception ratio is kind of low. So that conversation would be had if I feel like he was in Dallas or he was in New York. But for some odd reason, Pittsburgh is just a football season and people expect you to play blue-collar football and leave the accolades up to everybody else.
We spent a lot of time over the last few weeks, Moan, talking about Lamar Jackson. And yesterday we talked a ton, Jeff and I did, about Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And we talked about Greg Roman and everything else. When you look at Lamar Jackson right now, what do you see? He's so young and he's so kind of emotional. And it's not really a negative, but he's really open, says a quiet part out loud and stuff like that. But just on the field and Baltimore having to at some point make a decision about their future and whether or not they're going to pay him big money, where is Lamar Jackson right now?
Where he is, and that's very interesting because I see a lot that he does on the field. Right now, he looks like a young guy that's frustrated out there sometimes, or the young guy that's trying to do a lot to prove that he's a part of the party or he's the showstopper of the party. And right now, I just don't feel like it's in his favor to be that guy. I always point the finger. What we've been talking about at Jason on our show is pointing the finger at Greg Roman. I mean, here's a guy that has one of the best weapons in the world. And they, for some reason, didn't put it together for him. When we talk to Michael Vick, it made the most sense to me. It was like, you're going to have to do a lot to get him to be a better pro. And that's forcing him to do the things he's not comfortable with. And right now, he's trying to do everything that he's comfortable with. And, Jeff, you know it. Jamar, you studied the game for a long time in the sense that, hey, guess what? When they figure you out, the ones that stay around in this league are the ones that continue to evolve. And he's not evolving right now. It's almost as if you're the best player in your neighborhood at basketball, right? And every day you go out there and work everybody until the new kids come and be like, okay, well, you're not as good as we thought you were. It's almost like he views himself as being figured out. And when you're in this league of smart people, I mean, we talked about it. Baltimore got 30 guys on their staff, coaches. 30 guys on their coaching staff. They got an analytics department. Oh, every team has something like that. And all they need is a little time to figure you out. And when they do, you better be really good or as good as we thought you were in the year that you won MVP. And right now, he's not showing that. So it's almost the frustration shows itself every time. Him trying to extend plays and make plays is just not happening because teams have gotten smarter.
Well, talking about teams and offenses and whatnot that are struggling, the Dallas Cowboys yesterday had a pathetic showing on Thanksgiving. Even with all the injuries and whatnot, man, I thought McCarthy was going to be a good hire, and it's obviously maybe not fair to judge him in year one without Dak Prescott, but some of the coaching decisions, man, leave me a little worried about his future in Dallas. What do you make of what's happening in Dallas this year?
I look at it as this. There's two things that really get me. Maybe Aaron Rodgers was correct about him. That's the first thing that comes in my mind. Well, maybe it was Coach McCarthy in a sense. And the other part of it is this. Is Zeke as good as we thought he was? Because when you're a high-dollar running back, you got to be able to change the game in some sense. We're seeing his backup now look better than he is. We were having a conversation watching the game last night, me and my brothers, in a sense, like, well, do you cut Zeke after this year? And I know it might be a hot take or it might just be, you know, but Dallas is at a standpoint. Really no quarterback. The O-line is about to be reworked.
Yeah.
McCarthy comes in and not do what he's supposed to do as far as the coach. I'll say this. I know for a fact we were hoping he didn't go to Cleveland because his coaching pedigree said he's a good coach. And last night, for the world to see, he didn't look like a good coach, and Zeke didn't look like the guy that we thought he was going to be for years to come also.
I mean, they paid him a ton of money. I mean, they paid Zeke a ton of money, Moan. And paying running backs just does not tend to pay off. I mean, he had 10 carries for 30 yards, Moan. Like, this is Zeke Elliott.
That's what I'm saying. And for the people that are, like, listening to this as far as why the running back position keeps getting a knock on it every year, or we look at the Robinson kid in Jacksonville right now. He's a stud.
Yeah.
You know, and you get a young guy, even if you do get a high draft pick as a running back, you get him for the 3 or 4 years that you can get him, and then you probably send him off to free agency. There is no reason right now to get a running back. It's because, Jeff, I'm sure it's the same as you. When you were younger, the position you wanted to play when you first jumped on the field was probably running back or quarterback.
I've always been this fat, though. It was probably more like maybe like
you're
tight
out there
end.
Without gloves.
Yeah, maybe like tight. No, Jason, we're not gonna trigger people today. Please,
no.
Please, no.
But I say this though. Everybody wanted to run the ball. I know my era growing up, I wanted to be Emmitt Smith in the sense of like, give me the ball. I don't care how big I am. And you gotta look at it, man. There's three running backs on the team, but on college teams, there's probably about 6 or 8 of them, and every single one of them can legitimately be a weapon to your team. And because of those reasons, it's the reasons why running backs will always have a knock on them, because you can hire a guy for cheap, and he's going to be able to do the exact same job, because why? It is one of the prettiest positions out there, because you control the game.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you think about Pittsburgh again and Le'Veon.
Yeah.
You don't have to even point to anything about Le'Veon specifically, but whatever it was that made Le'Veon special, it's not like James Conner was some like 4 to 5 step drop off. All it was a way to save a ton of money and still continue to be able to run your system.
Yeah, and I think Le'Veon's a really good talent, man. He did some stuff that was very unique to the NFL and to the running back position, where you see some guys try to do like the stutter, stop and go stuff. But at the end of the day, man, what we had was what Pittsburgh worked. And it worked in Pittsburgh for, in a sense, because you got to have the O-line. That was proven because it wasn't the case in New York. Did not have an O-line there, and he wasn't able to run. He go to Kansas City, and right now, Hilaire is doing his thing. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is doing his thing as a young guy. Again, the 37th pick of the draft. Here's this guy looking like an all-pro, probably up for the offensive rookie of the year. So, and that tells you when you got an all-pro, Pro Bowl, world-class athlete in Le'Veon, and he's barely touching the field because of this young guy. So, I hate it for those guys. The ones that are special, Saquon, if he can bounce back from this ACL, MCL thing he got going on, then he's probably one of the last, like, dynamics. And, of course, what Dalvin Cook is doing, but when you're playing in Minnesota right now, it doesn't seem like there's much to it either. So, the ball's got to go through him.
Mm. Jason and I have discussed the NFC a bunch the last couple of days. Who's your favorite team, or if you have to pick one right now, to win the NFC conference? Feels like that conference is the one where, you know, someone gets hot in December could carry the championship there.
The NFC, man, I'm going to say this. I'm not sold on Tampa right now. Yeah. I'm just not sold on them, man. Tom's offense, I heard somebody on the radio talking the other day, and it was like when you have a really good quarterback, it was Fox. They were talking to Coach Fox when he was in Denver. It was like, man, what did you do to help out Peyton with this offense, man? You guys are catering to him. He was like, no. Peyton installed the offense.
Yeah, he did.
We listened to Peyton install this offense. And I thought to myself, that's one of the things that I didn't feel like Bruce Arians would be able to let go of. He would want Tom doing his stuff. And Tom's not that offense is built for a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, okay? It's not built for a guy like Tom Brady. Tom Brady should have been the one installing that offense in Tampa. And because of those reasons, even with the receivers, running back core, their O-line is solid and the solid D-line, I just don't see them going far. So if I had to pick a team, it would either be New Orleans. And I'm rolling what Jason said, too, that the Rams, I think they have more of the stuff that works for them. You know what you're going to get from the Rams. The defense is going to do its thing. The secondary is solid on the other side of the ball. And just they're watching Goff evolve. I like those, too, man. And I know I'm leaving out Russ, but their defense for them just doesn't do it for me. I like the Rams or either New Orleans at this point.
All right, Mom, before I let you go, did the PS5 happen on Wednesday?
Jeff, okay. I called you Jeff. Jason, listen to me. Like a sucker, when you sent me that link, okay, and told me it was going to be up at 8 o'clock Central, I went on there, okay? And it did not happen. For all you people that own bots, okay, I hope they don't fail when you put them up on eBay and all the resale sites. You know what? I'm not buying one, Jackson. I'm not buying one until I see them on the shelves, okay? And I want every bot person out there that's soaking up all these games to not sell them. That's the evil I have in me for guys that are buying up all the PS5 that don't have kids that's just trying to make money, okay? That's how I feel right now.
I was hoping you were going to have a different answer, but Abby asked me if you were able to get one, and I'm like, you didn't send me a text with, like, all sorts of celebratory stuff on it. So my guess was you didn't get it, man.
And I went on there, and I wasn't going to tell you either, Jason. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just break the wrist and walk away. I don't have to tell you my loss again. you know the Bugs Bunny cartoon where, like, his head turns into a sucker? That's how I felt after that, okay? Like, with a sucker on his head.
We're going to find you one, Moan. Man, you're the best. I'll catch you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the fact that the Vols aren't going to lose tomorrow since they're not playing.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I know. You know what? Certain things that make me okay, that's one of them, all right?
All right, my brother. We'll talk to you, man.
Take care, buddy.
That's what I get 5 days a week right there.
That's not good in life. To be a fan of a team where you're happy they're just not playing so they can't lose.
Well, that's the running joke right now. That's how bad it is at Tennessee. Why do you think Clay's taking time off? He's got to find a way to come back from this with what's going on with the Vols.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
It's Outkick the Coverage finishing up on this Friday. It's 2020, 1979, not 1979, but we'll take it anyway. Thanks to Ramon Foster, my broadcast partner on J Mart and Ramon, heard on Fox Sports Radio affiliates in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone, for joining us. PS5 struggles real, Jeff. I told you they're on eBay for like $1,500. I still don't understand how I landed one in the middle of an interview on the radio like weeks ago, but I have mine in the home right now. I'm enjoying Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Dude, I haven't played video games in a century. I don't even know when the last time.
Well, it's all good. news from a big game on Sunday, not Ravens Steelers. Right now that game is still on. But we'll see. I mean, if they can't get into the facility until Monday, then that seems treacherous. But we'll see.
Seems tough, yes. That would be, I would agree with you there.
Yeah, defensive tackle DeForest Buckner from the Colts is out Sunday against the Titans. Positive COVID-19 test for him. That's a significant situation for a huge football game on Sunday, Jeff.
That is a big game. I like the Colts in that game.
So do I.
Well, they've also won 20 of the last 24 matchups between these two teams.
Yes.
I mean, there is something to like ownage, but you know, Buckner being out is doesn't help, but the Colts have better lines, right? They're better on the offensive line. They're better on the defensive line. The Titans are injured at left tackle, especially. Is Roger Saffold going to play? Is he playing this week, you think?
I don't know. He needs to play. Dennis Kelly hadn't practiced all week either.
So now they have their right tackle not practicing. Their left tackle's now their third left tackle. They might have a backup left guard. And the third down defense still worries the heck out of me.
As it should.
And that's the problem. Like I just think you give Phillip Rivers time. And Michael Pittman's coming on strong now for the Colts, the wide receiver from USC.
Mm-hmm.
And look, their defense, besides the first half against the Packers, is really good. I mean, they had some really good games strung together. So I think the Colts are just a better team right now. It's nothing against the Titans. I just think the Titans' third down defense and their offensive line issues are big problems.
Just a couple of – all right. So, yeah, we picked that game right there. If Baltimore-Pittsburgh is played, how do you see that going?
Well, I liked Pittsburgh before I knew Lamar Jackson was going to be out. And sometimes you can't overthink these games. Like you just have to go with what you know. Right now, the Steelers are better everywhere, right? Like where would you say the Ravens right now are in a better position than the Steelers? Like at what position, at what part of the game? The Steelers are just better right now at everything. Mm-hmm. And I know these games are always close because they're the black
kicker.
And blue division, like kicker. Okay, kicker, sure. If this game comes down to that, sure. But the black and blue division, right? Like this is a game that's always close, 3 points, 4 points. I don't think this one's very close. I thought they would win by a touchdown at the minimum. Obviously now I think it'll be even a bigger margin.
Chiefs-Bucks is just a really nice matchup. It's just a lot of fun. There's a lot of glitz there. You've heard Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I guess, is pretty close with Mahomes and has spoken to him a lot and has said a lot of really kind things about him this week in the run-up to this game. Tampa kind of needs this one just because of the way people have been feeling and just the Arian stuff and all this. I like Tampa a lot. I just don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs.
I mean, the Chiefs need this too because if they don't win this game and Pittsburgh wins, they're two games back now. And remember, there's only one playoff bye now,
right?
So getting that bye is important just to rest, but also, you know, just to have home field advantage. It won't matter for fans, but the weather, obviously Kansas City and Pittsburgh don't really matter with the weather. That's be about the same that time of year. But just having that week of rest is so important.
Do you think Notre Dame scoots through today?
I think they actually do. North Carolina's defense, they've allowed 44 points at least three times this year. And this is the best defense they're going to face. North Carolina, they played a good Virginia defense and lost, if you remember that game. And Notre Dame, I think, wants to show out that they are the big dog that everyone thinks they are. I think they cover this game, cover the 5 or 5.5.
I think you'll be cheering your Oregon Ducks. They will win today. I think that Texas-Iowa State's really going to be fascinating to watch. That one's just coming up in a few hours. Tom Herman needs that one badly. And you just heard Jeff say Iowa State. Always fun to work with Jeff. Always fun to be in here on Outkick. Clay's back on Monday. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy all the football and the leftovers.